Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network, just like in the old days, except I'm pinch-hitting for Dr. Patrick Slattery on this National Bugle Radio episode until he concludes something that he had to take care of this morning. And so he calls on Captain Reliable, Mark Dankoff, to get on RBN and open this very, very fine show. We have all kinds of news stories to discuss with you, and I'm going to ask my technician to retransmit to me the RBN call-in number just in case we need to take some call-ins. I think I remember it from memory, but I don't want to announce the wrong 800 number here on the air. So I was on David Duke's show on rents earlier. We were discussing all kinds of things related to the Democratic debates last night and also the latest outlandish coverage in the New York Times on events Israeli and Palestinian. But let's first take a look at our big board at nationalbugle.com. Under war and foreign policy, we have the small but brave cadre of conservative anti-war Republicans, from Hunter Durensis of the American Conservative. Press Television Iran tells us that once again, Israeli forces have arrested the Palestinian government or governor of Jerusalem, Al-Quds. Very, very tense situation there. I want to emphasize some stories today on Bolivia. I did a 15-minute TV interview with Press Television a couple of days ago on the events in Bolivia with reference to these stories. I put them up on Dr. Slattery's big board for the benefit of our RBN listeners, and these are as follows. Elizabeth Warren endorses Trump's economic war in Venezuela, soft pedals the far-right coup in Bolivia. That's Jeb Sprague from the Gray Zone. Also, Jeb gives us another offering from the Gray Zone that is especially ominous. Top Bolivian coup plotters trained at the U.S. military's School of the Americas in Fort Benning, Georgia. And they also served as FBI police attachés. Surprise, surprise. And then, of course, from Global Research, Paul Antonopoulos gives us Bolivian U.S.-backed coup government gives military authorization to kill protesters. Not a good sign there either. And then, of course, when we turn to events very, very briefly in the Middle East, we are told by Josiah Thayer from antiwar.com that General Jack Keane of Fox News fame, shows Donald Trump maps of oil fields to keep troops in Syria. We will be talking about that a little bit later on, presumably on the show. Ramsey Baroud weighs in from antiwar.com, how Western media bias enables Israel to get away with murder in Gaza. And then another story on Bolivia that's absolutely critical reading is from F. William Engdahl of globalresearch.org. That's Michael Chosadovsky's site. That one's entitled China, the USA, and the Politics of Lithium. So in the case of Bolivia, what we have is an extension of American-Chinese competition for the lithium market globally. It's going on in Chile. It's going on in Australia, according to Dr. Engdahl. And it most certainly is now going on in Bolivia. And curiously enough, when we ask ourselves the question about natural gas, the two places where natural gas is most prevalent in Latin America are, in fact, Bolivia and Venezuela. What's behind our world on fire, Pat Buchanan asks. That one comes to us from the American Conservative. And here is an ominous post from Tasnim News Agency of Iran. And if you check them today and check Press Television Iran, you will see that on an ongoing basis, we have a very, very serious insurrection taking place in that country over gasoline rationing and gasoline prices that appears to be exacerbated from the outside, if the Iranians are to be believed. And I have no doubt that they are right on this subject, that whatever the domestic difficulties in that country, that basically the economic sanctions of Trump and Pompeo and Bolton and company are having an impact on the economy of Iran, which in turn is forcing the government to make certain changes in policy that in fact are extremely unpopular with a very restive and deprived, economically deprived domestic population that is riots, including a shooting in Iran's Khuzestan province. There's a video connected with that that comes to us from the Tasnim news agency. But again, check them ongoingly along with Press Television Iran to see that this is a burgeoning ongoing story, both in Tehran and in Khuzestan province, and also in these other provinces in the northwestern part of that country, including Golestan province and a place called Gorgan there, and also Tabriz and several other locations, getting up into Azerbaijani, Iran. So take an ongoing look at that, because we have serious trouble ahead there at the same time that Bolivia is becoming a terrible situation. The situation in Venezuela continues to smolder, and obviously we have a situation with Israel and Gaza and the West Bank that threatens to ignite at any moment, not simply in terms of East Jerusalem, but Pompeo has now announced that it is official United States policy to recognize all of these Israeli settlements in East Jerusalem and the West Bank that have been deemed illegal under international law, and that in turn has been the American policy position from the American government for years. Based upon these UN resolutions, this is a major U-turn by the Trump administration and a very, very ominous turn from my point of view, because it threatens to bring us into this Middle Eastern situation in a more ominously grave and direct way, as the Zionists continue to expand their powers in Palestine, as they continue to be involved in these genocidal policies in Gaza, as they basically lift East Jerusalem from the Palestinians, and as these most radical settler groups in Israel continue to settle illegally lands that are being ongoingly stolen from Palestinians in the occupied West Bank, and of course, not to mention this ongoing concern that Press Television has talked about today about what is going on in the Temple Mount and what is going on in East Jerusalem. Under immigration and demographics, we have a couple of things for you to take a look at. Breitbart, in fact, reports that an illegal alien accused of killing a father of three in a DUI hit and run is, in fact, a repeat performer. This guy has been deported from this country before. He was involved in criminal activities before. He has now returned to apparently and allegedly kill a father of three in a DUI hit and run. That's under immigration and demographics today. Brandon Smith from Lou Rockwell has a post that we put up there that's entitled, "The Globalists Are Admitting Their Population Control Agenda, and That's a Bad Sign." And then, of course, Dr. Slattery has a series of posts on Tulsi Gabbard and this whole business of what Dr. Slattery has renamed Aloha America, or Welcome Aloha American, or Good Morning Aloha, or something to that effect, as it pertains to Stormfront Radio. So he's got a series of posts that pertain to this whole business of immigration and demographics, including several that even include the Washington Post. In Guatemala, we are told there that lenders that were supported by the U.S. Agency for International Development and the World Bank are now funding illegal migration to the United States. Surprise, surprise. This is just an example of the sort of thing that RBN folks can look at nationalbugle.com under immigration and under demographics to see that we have problems ahead. Under elections and politics, Dave DeCamp reports today from antiwar.com that Russiagaters are narrowing their focus to Russian state media. Do you read RT? Do you read Sputnik as I do? Do you check Charles Bousman's Russia Insider? He's an American, by the way, and he's a very devout Russian Orthodox Christian. Do you read Father Joseph Gleason's Russian Faith site? Father Gleason is originally from Texas. He's a Russian Orthodox priest who is now living in Russia with his wife and his very large family, and he hails now from Rostov the Great in Russia, has all kinds of marvelous stories at Russian Faith that pertain to what is going on in that country by comparison and contrast to what seems to be an absolute surge and inundation of cultural Marxism in this country. Well, if you're looking at any of those sites, you must be a Russian agent. And this is the point of what Dave DeCamp is telling us at antiwar.com today, and that is that Russiagaters are narrowing their focus to Russian state media. I would simply editorialize here at this particular juncture that what we are seeing is a focus on Russian state media in the United States, because mainstream media in the United States doesn't like the amount of truth that is being told about Russia and Vladimir Putin or the Middle East or Israel or Netanyahu or the LGBTQ movement or the renaissance of Russian Orthodox Christian culture in that country or any of the rest of it. So we'll need to keep an eye on that story. And here's one, folks. Clint Eastwood, I note, made reference to this on Twitter yesterday. It's now up there from Reuters. Ilya Zigulev, and I hope I have pronounced her name correctly, has one up there from Reuters entitled Ukraine Widens the Probe Against Burisma Founder to Include Embezzlement of State Funds. And one can well nigh imagine that as Hunter Biden is even in deeper hot water than ever before, based upon some things that have just emerged on his personal life, which have given him a public perception in this country and elsewhere of just about zero, that we suspect that this broadening investigation taking place in the Ukraine as it relates to this Burisma Holdings company is threatening to be a tidal wave aimed at Hunter, aimed at Joe Biden, and ultimately getting the Democratic Party in the United States going in a direction it doesn't want to go in. There's a grave risk going on here, and I want our listeners at RBN to understand here, to understand this on National Bugle Radio today, and it's this. Russiagate has not worked. The Democrats in the deep state have chosen Ukrainegate. The only problem with that is that from June of 2013, when Barack Obama decided that he was going to try and lift Sevastopol from the Russian Navy in Crimea, and subsequently the February 2014 illegal coup d'etat against the Yanukovych regime in Kiev, that was backed by the CIA, backed by the Israeli Mossad, and by the European Union, that whole illegal coup d'etat points big time at Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Victoria Nuland, our old friend Robert Kagan, Victoria's Jewish husband, who has been involved with the Project for the New American Century and other Zionist globalist projects, Jeffrey Pyatt, our former American ambassador to the Ukraine, caught in phone conversations with Victoria Nuland discussing this American coup, discussing who would replace Yanukovych, and by and large, by George, the amount of money that the United States was putting into these demonstration groups and anti-Russian NGOs and all the rest of it to basically pull off another illegal regime change in another country along the lines of what we are now engaged in Bolivia, what we are trying to do in Venezuela, clearly what we would like to do in a number of places around the world, including Syria, where the governments just aren't lining up with our Zionist globalist central banking war for Israel foreign policy. So let's keep an eye on that whole situation, but suffice it to say that this has gone so far. We have posted this before at National Bugle Radio on our news page at nationalbugle.com, and I might choose to post it again. We have Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State of the United States, openly promoting LGBTQ in Ukraine, courtesy of the official American consular site in Kiev. Yes, folks, that's right. Just like Marie Yanovovich, or whatever her name is, who's been testifying against President Trump in this impeachment circus. She was our ambassador to the Ukraine and very much in the forefront of these LGBTQ marches officially as a representative of the American government in that country and in that capital. Lo and behold, Mike Pompeo dives into the middle of this. And if you look at the official American consular website in Kiev, Ukraine, which you can access on Google, search out Mike Pompeo and his official statement as the Secretary of State of the United States in support of LGBTQ in Ukraine. This is not only going on in the Trump administration, folks, but the other angle on this is that all of the available evidence is there. And I've talked to my friend Jim Jotras about this, the very fine Russian Orthodox political commentator who has written extensively on how the United States CIA and State Department, to the tune of a believed $25 million, bought off a crooked Eastern Orthodox patriarch in Istanbul by the name of Bartholomew II. And Bartholomew II issues an edict. It is an edict that he had no ecclesiastical jurisdiction and right to make, in my view, but that edict essentially coming from this Patriarch of Istanbul, who has nothing to do with the Orthodox Church in Ukraine and nothing to do with the Russian Orthodox Church in Ukraine, which has had historical ecclesiastical oversight over the Ukraine Orthodox Church. Well, Bartholomew II, thanks to all of this American covert cash, issues an edict that the Orthodox Church in the Ukraine can feel free to become autonomous and to no longer be under the official historical governance, ecclesiastically speaking, of the Russian Orthodox Church and its patriarch Kirill, who in fact obviously resides in Moscow. Now, this is a very, very interesting piece, isn't it? Because what we have is a situation where the United States and the American CIA and our globalist banking community have created a serious crisis in world orthodoxy that has caused this rift between the Russian Orthodox Church and the Orthodox Church of Ukraine now, which has included the insertion of this LGBTQ angle, where Bartholomew II, the Eastern Orthodox Patriarch of Istanbul, has hinted that perhaps the Orthodox Church needs to modify or to become more evangelical in its attitude toward the LGBTQ movement globally. How many of you evangelicals out there listening to this broadcast support Christian Zionism? How many of you Protestant evangelicals out there support President Trump in his hijacking of East Jerusalem for the Zionists, or the occupied West Bank, or his policies of continuing to support Israel's murderous opportunities and operations in Gaza? How many of you support these ongoing Israeli incursions in Syrian and Lebanese airspace? Probably quite
a few. Yeah, I couldn't support that.
Yeah, here he is. Dr. Slattery is here. He doesn't support it, and he certainly doesn't support using the CIA to cause a crisis in world orthodoxy just so that we can continue having a nice bank in Ukraine and can continue encircling Vladimir Putin and Russia, which have every reason to be nervous about us. Welcome, dear host, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
Well, thank you for saving the day, Mark.
Not me. I save everyone's day every day. Doesn't matter who it is.
I know. That's kind of your job description.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing that's so amazing is that this Zelensky was just elected with something in a landslide with about 70% of the vote on a pro-peace platform, a platform to bring this war to an end. Donald Trump was elected on a platform of improving relations with Russia, and now he's being impeached because he wasn't sending offensive weapons to the Ukrainian army to be used to kill Russian soldiers. The whole thing is so bizarre.
It's absolutely bizarre, and as we've talked about both on this show and the other shows that we do, which includes Duke on Rents, and then, of course, you were on the show Monday coming from England that I try host with Andrew Carrington Hitchcock and Adrian Krieg talking about all of this. It is amazing that the American public can look, whatever Trump's liabilities, and I'm one of the people on the real American right who has chronicled what I think are his serious liabilities time and time again. So I'm no cheerleader for Donald Trump. That's a matter of public record. But having said that, the incredible thing about Ukraine Gate, as was the case with Russia Gate, is that the criminality points in a completely different direction as it relates to Clinton, Biden, Obama, and the Democratic establishment and the Jewish establishment that supports them.
Okay, well, we will be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Folks, this is very important information. What's to be said about CBD? AncientLifeOil.com. Our CBD is made from hemp and has 0.003 THC, which means this wonderful product won't get you high. No matter what amount you take, what does CBD do for the body? My hands are tied, but you can Google CBD benefits and be astounded. When you're finished reading, you'll want to log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. And purchase. Life is good when you feel good. People are tired of pain. People are asking for non-GMO organic products to help them with, you fill in the blank. Legal in 49 states, and again, our CBD is made from hemp. Ancient Life Oil is about helping people, one by one by one. If you wonder how good the product is, the CEO takes it every day without miss. AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Have a great day.
Show National People Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. So it has been the Mark Dankoff show so far, but now I'm back. I've joined, and before we go on to other things, I do want to do a little bit of housekeeping. Everybody knows that I always start the show every show saying how important RBN is, because it is very important. I mean, just look right and left, people are getting deplatformed, they're getting taken off the internet, free speech is being shut down. RBN still has free speech, and so I always say, click on, go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button and send shekels. But I'm going to be a little more specific. You can donate, when you click on that donate button, you can donate by PayPal. It's very easy. You don't even have to have a PayPal account. You can also, if you don't want to do that, you can call this number. So get your pen and pencil out, but I'm sure it's up on the website as well. So it is 1-800-724-2719 and then extension 3. I'll say that again, but you can call that number. Or, and I'm going to say this again, but you can mail in a check to 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, great state of Texas. And that is how you write it, great state of Texas. Isn't it, Mark?
Yes, absolutely. Capital letters.
Yeah, and then the zip code 78664. So I'll say it one more time. The phone number, if you want to do it by phone, 1-800-724-2719, extension 3, or by mail, it's at 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, great state of Texas, 78664. All right. Well, just before going to the break, we mentioned Ukraine. And right now, the notion, the audacity of Donald Trump to perhaps not to delay aid, military aid, offensive weapons, more than $500 million worth of offensive weapons designed to kill Russians, that he delayed that by a couple of weeks. Shouldn't send it at all, but that he delayed it, that's an impeachable offense. And unfortunately, I saw Kellyanne Conway, who was defending Donald Trump to the odious Judy Woodruff on the PBS NewsHour, and she was making the case, well, we're sending, Judy Woodruff says, are you going to continue to send military aid to Ukraine? She says, oh, it will be very robust. How much are you going to send? Well, it will be very robust. Well, the fact of the matter is that to his credit, President Obama resisted sending offensive weapons to Ukraine. He was a very weak president, but he dragged his feet on a few things. He dragged his feet on war with Iran, to his credit. He could have, Hillary wanted him to go head first into Syria, and he only went ankle deep, to more or less his credit, although he shouldn't have gone ankle deep. He shouldn't have gone along with a coup d'etat, like 3 days after telling Vladimir Putin that he supported the Minsk peace process, 3 days later goes and allows the CIA and Victoria Nuland, the State Department, to overthrow the Viktor Yanukovych government. But at least he didn't send these offensive weapons. Now, Trump, I mean, he shouldn't have sent them, but he delayed it just by a few days or a couple of weeks, and that's an impeachable offense. What the heck's going on?
Well, it's absolutely incredible to me that the American public continues not to get it. And the reason I say this, Tyler Durden has a piece that's up there at Zero Hedge. Bousman's Russia Insider has rerun it. I will get it up on the big board as we continue talking during this hour. But the Ukrainian MP that is now talking about what he understands about what happened over there subsequent to the coup d'etat is claiming, according to Tyler Durden, that $7.4 billion in Obama-linked laundering was going on in this situation. And this MP puts the Biden group's take at $16.5 million. Now, because I'm a nice guy, I'm on Twitter even as we speak. I am sending this story to Clint Eastwood, who's had some hilarious things out there on Twitter related to Hunter Biden, all of which are true. I'm sending this to Press Television Iran, Tasnim News of Iran, Ali Abu Nima of the Electronic Intifada, Ramzi Baroud. I'm going to make sure that Russian state media gets a copy of this. And last but not least, I'm going to send this to Biden and his foundation myself. Along with a nice note on this to the Democratic National Committee and the Democratic Party, because this is, we've been saying from the beginning, this is where this whole thing is political dynamite for the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. Now, this dovetails with the story that I mentioned on our big board from Dave.
We should be hearing the music now. I think we're about
okay.
to get- But we'll pick
if
it up.
Ever I would leave you. Okay. Broadcasting
Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
We are back, and I want Mark to continue, and we're going to talk about some other fun stuff, but Mark, why don't you continue with all of this Ukraine? How does it make sense?
Well, it makes sense only if the Democrats feel that their special cuddly relationship with Jewish mainstream media in the United States will continue to help them divert the American public from all of the criminality on their side of the aisle in this Russiagate thing, going back to Fusion GPS and the Steele dossier and the fraudulent case made to the FISA court from the beginning, and so forth and so on. Now we've got Ukraine Gate. And of course, the Democratic Party and the mainstream media is attempting to give us the line that, in fact, this is where Trump has finally committed a provable, impeachable offense. This is absolutely ridiculous, of course. I think reasonable people understand globally that even those that don't like Donald Trump at all, or maybe even despise him, that the deep state and the Democratic Party and the media establishment that's involved with both is simply trying to get the guy out, even though he's doing Israel's bidding internationally. That's a fascinating thing. But in terms of Ukraine, the criminality of this situation is all about the Democratic administration of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton leading up to February of 2014, that period of time between June of 2013 and February of 2014, and all this crooked stuff. that involve Bidens, both Bidens and this Burisma outfit. And there are two posts, one that is on our big board, one that will be. One is from Reuters, Ilya Zegulev, if I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Ukraine widens probe against Burisma founder to embezzlement of state funds. So that's really starting to unravel. And then, of course, in terms of our good friend Tyler Durden at Zero Hedge, there you have a situation, again, reposted by Bousman of Russia Insider, which has a lot of people upset, the kinds of people Dave DeCamp exposes today at antiwar.com, and his article on why Russian state media and even pro-Russian outlets, which could arguably even include some of the things that we do as American nationalists and populists, are under increasingly being targeted by all of the bad guys. But here you have Tyler Durden today saying that there's a Ukrainian MP. This guy's name is Dobinsky. He, in fact, says that a document leaked from the Ukraine's Office of the Prosecutor General contains claims against Burisma owner Nikolai Zlochevsky, as well as Hunter Biden and his partners, who allegedly received $16.5 million for their services, according to Alexander Dubinsky of the ruling Servant of the People Party. Now, when you start to look at this, this is why mainstream media is so paranoid about good, responsible alternative media, Zero Hedge, Whitney Webb at Mint Press News, and some of what those folks do. They're nervous about Bousman at Russia Insider, Father Gleason at Russian Faith. They hate us at RBN and at NationalBugle.com. They certainly don't like Andrew Carrington Hitchcock and Eurofolk Radio. They don't like the American Free Press. They don't like the Nationalist Times of Don Wassel. And the reason they don't is obviously to the extent that people are exposed to that information, they're obviously going to be saying, hey, what's going on? Why isn't this on CNN? Why isn't this being investigated by Congress officially, and so forth and so on? And this is the risk that the Democrats have been running from the beginning, first with Russiagate and now with Ukrainegate. Everything points in the ultimate opposite direction in regard to real criminality. And despite their conspiracy, and I'll use that term, conspiracy, collusion, whatever you want to call it, with a Jewish pro-Zionist mainstream media in the United States, that nonetheless, there's just enough of this other stuff that's leaking out through people like Tyler Durden that's being posted on Twitter, that it's they're running a risk of an incredible blowback. Last night when I was at Barnes & Noble taking a selfie of myself throwing up, looking at Pete Buttigieg's autobiography, I came across a copy of Mother Jones, the current Mother Jones, at the Barnes & Noble newsstand. And the title of this thing is Biden Big Banks, and it shows Joe on an American Express card, and it shows a heart drawn around Joe's face in the middle. And this article by Tom Murphy says, a closer look at Joe Biden's relationship with the financial industry is way past due. Now, if Mother Jones is starting to go after Biden, I think we can see just how dangerous a situation this is for Biden. Mm-hmm. And for his son. And then all of that starts going back to Obama and Clinton and Newland and Jeffrey Pyatt in that crowd. And then this whole thing could simply mushroom into a circumstance whereby what you reported to me off the air on Wisconsin might be a foretaste of things to come for a Democratic Party that has completely miscalculated the political risks in this highly politicized, illegitimate impeachment process.
Yeah, so can you imagine how many people out there, even Democrats, how many people out there would be able to explain over Thanksgiving dinner why, what the whole Ukraine gate is all about in a way that would convince maybe one of their normie relatives who isn't paying attention? What are they going to say? He tried to get dirt quid pro quo. Okay, so what's that? I mean, you know, or foreign policy.
And so we might ask ourselves, what American president in either party has not operated that way in our lifetimes and prior to it?
Right. Well, I mean, what is foreign policy? Foreign policy is instead of doing war, you do quid pro quo. That's the only place where we're not doing quid pro quo is Israel, because we just give them a bunch of quids, right? Isn't quid like isn't that a British term for money?
Yes, there's quid and no pro quo. And
yeah, I mean, it's just all quid, no pro.
Yeah,
whatever. Yeah,
and to me, this is really starting to cause some leaks in the dam. Sputnik News is questioning today the whole official account of the Epstein thing. We have press television and other outlets reporting that Prince Andrew has now gone into virtual hiding after this car crash interview that he gave to the BBC, trying to clear his name in this whole business of Jeffrey Epstein. And it now comes out that Prince Andrew was in contact with Ghislaine Maxwell after the Justice Department announced that they were reopening their probe of Jeffrey Epstein. So when people see stories like that, whether you're talking about the real truth of Ukraine Gate and the Obama administration and Clinton and the Bidens, or this outlandish criminal conduct, misconduct that took place in the Russia Gate affair, and how Mueller and the boys spend $32 million of taxpayers' money on that and come up with nothing. Mm-hmm. And then we start seeing all of these stories emerging on Assange and what is really going on there, the Epstein case, the truth about Ukraine Gate and all the rest of it. We might find ourselves as Americans going, why is our mainstream media covering all of this up? And this is reaching a point where I think it's going to be increasingly hard for them to do so. And I get a big kick out of Clint Eastwood, because obviously he is world famous. He's got millions of fans. He has a very sarcastic, good, cutting, sarcastic sense of humor that I think is fair. I don't agree with Clint at all on this issue of Israel, and I have told him so on Twitter, respectfully. But nonetheless, excuse me, in terms of this whole business of Biden and Burisma in Ukraine Gate and impeachment, clearly Eastwood understands all of that and has really smoked Hunter Biden, and has gone after those people who continue covering all of this. Now, let me quote, this is what Clint Eastwood said, by the way, and then we'll try to get refocused again. Clint puts it pretty, I'll say, graphically here. Breaking story, Clint says yesterday, Hunter Biden was banging his wife, his sister-in-law, and a 25-year-old country girl from Arkansas all at the same time. His bastard child is eligible for Secret Service protection. This is going to the Secret Service, by the way, from Eastwood. Congrats, Joe Biden. This also went to Biden from Clint Eastwood. You're a grandfather again. Hunter will need that money from Burisma. Now, this is going all over the internet at the same time that the stories about Epstein and Maxwell are continued to resurface, despite the attempts of mainstream media in the United States and the West to cover it up. This Prince Andrew is up to his eyebrows in this now. The public is reading this material. And then when you start looking at the this whole situation going on in the Democratic Party with these debates last night, where this Jewish reporter, what was that lady's name? I responded to her on Twitter in regard to this ridiculous article she ran on Gabbard, criticizing Gabbard's entirely white outfit last night at the Democratic national debates, presidential
debates. Stunning, if you asked me.
Yeah, very stunning, a lot more stunning than this correspondent looks, and I'll simply editorialize that. But I went on to, while I was on Duke's show talking about that article, I wrote this lady, at the New York Times and basically indicated to her, and I put a smiley face that was winking, I basically indicated to her that her brand of journalism was certainly sufficient to line the bottom of a birdcage or my cat litter box, although I don't own a cat, obviously. And well, I sent this to Gabbard at the same time, and with a note to this reporter, no more wars for Israel, because if you read this asinine story that she wrote on Gabbard.
Vanessa Friedman.
Yeah, I see now. And I reached her at Twitter at VV Friedman. And I said, Ms. Friedman, your New York Times articles are great for lining the bottom of a birdcage or a cat litter box. No more wars for Israel. And then I put a smiley face or two, and I also sent it at the same time to Tulsi Gabbard. Now, again, I've made it clear what my policy differences are with Tulsi Gabbard on all kinds of subjects. I have not endorsed her for president. I have a lot of reservations about her positions on 100 other issues. However, on the issue of war and peace, to the extent that she's talked about it, she's not as comprehensive in the way that she frames it as I would be, because she's obviously got to be careful at this point. But nonetheless, she's the only Democrat talking about this stuff. And the New York Times is obviously involved once again in a deliberate attempt to undermine her candidacy, as Google and all of these other people have been, because she's the one Democrat that's saying we don't need any more of these neocon wars.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so having mentioned the polls, so in Wisconsin, and this came out yesterday, Trump versus Biden, Trump is +3, versus Warren +5, versus Sanders +3, versus Buttigieg +8, versus Klobuchar +14. Now, okay, so that's Wisconsin. It's a state that was critical to him last time. Now, that is the Marquette University poll. There's an Emerson poll, another polling company, and this is national. And they've got Trump versus Biden, Trump +2, versus Sanders actually +1, and then versus versus Warren a tie, and versus Buttigieg, Trump is +4. Now, here's the thing. These people, like Trump is a known factor. Everybody knows Trump. Everybody has a position on Trump. A lot of the public, a great deal of the public, doesn't really know these other people. And when they hear these names, I mean, even Biden, a lot of people don't know much about Biden. When they hear these names, it's just, to a lot of people, it's just not Trump. Trump versus not Trump. But once they get to be a nominee and everybody has their fill of them during, you know, network news shows and whatnot, their polling numbers are going to go down. Their negatives will go way up. That's right, because that's just the way that's the way it is. And at this point, and not that it's necessarily anything to celebrate, but what they're doing with the impeachment, this isn't helping them at all. And we'll likely get Trump again. Now, there are some people who say, oh, it would be better, you know, from an accelerationist point of view, it's better to get worse, better to have a Democrat, and then everything will fall apart, and then there will be some sort of armed uprising, which, of course, I don't buy into at all. But there is one other thing, and I don't buy into this either, but I think it's a little more plausible, that if you have a President Trump, and nominally President Trump, because he hasn't been able to do much, like they let him do trade negotiations with China, but he hasn't been in control of his foreign policy, hasn't been in control of immigration policy, and you know, some others. And if we could skip the break, that would be absolutely awesome. But people, you know, a lot of people who support Trump will say, oh, the media is just ignoring all the great things he's doing. And the fact is, he's not doing great things. I have sympathy for him. I think he's trying, but just really doesn't know what to do. And how much of a problem is it for so many people that we need to reach to be deluded into thinking that Trump is doing great things when, you know, they would be up in arms with the same results coming from, I don't mean literally up in arms, but they would be very, very upset with the state of affairs if the same number of foreigners were flooding over the borders under a Democratic president, if the same, you know, the same level of, you know, foreign military adventurism was going on under a Democratic president. It's a question. I still think that unless it's Tulsi Gabbard as a nominee, that I'll wind up voting for Trump again. But it's a question. Do you think the self-delusion that a lot of people get by having a President Trump and wanting to say, oh, he's doing great things when those things aren't really happening, how much of a concern should that be for us?
Well, again, there is so much that is being lost in this circus by people of goodwill on both sides of the political debate. And there aren't too many of those, sadly enough, anymore. But I do know some honest liberals who recognize unfairness when they see it and who are not supporters of what they quite rightly understand as the series of crooks that have been exposed in the elite of their own political party, who have robbed them of the legitimate outcome in 2016 within their own party. Legitimate liberals see the stuff going on with Biden in the Ukraine and clearly understand that that is the greatest story never told, if you want to put it that way. And at the same time, there are many of us on the right who are discovering all of the problems with Trump in regard to what he has gone along with in the Ukraine since he became president. Trump has been speaking, in my view, out of both sides of his mouth on Syria. He's now talking about putting another 3,000 troops in Saudi Arabia. These outlandish statements made by Pompeo on this unrest in Iran, clearly facilitated by American economic sanctions. And there's plenty of reason to believe that the CIA and the Israeli Mossad are using the MEK, the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, which is a charge that the Iranian government itself has made recently in print, to exacerbate tensions in these Iranian communities where this unrest and in some cases downright violence has occurred over this gasoline rationing and over these increases in petrol prices. So you start looking at this whole thing, another classic example of what the American people are not paying any attention to. Sputnik has talked about it. This guy at Common Dreams, I think his name is Jake Johnson, I put it up on our big board, has noted it very carefully. In the midst of all of this stuff going on with impeachment and Schiff and his crowd and, of course, CNN and the whole nine yards, has it escaped everyone's attention, Jake Johnson asks and Sputnik News asks, that the Democrats in the House of Representatives have voted to reauthorize the Patriot Act. Jake Johnson more narrowly focuses upon the fact that in his view, this has, quote unquote, given Donald Trump terrifying authoritarian powers. Well, I don't think we ought to simply hang that at Trump's doorstep. This has been going on since 2001 in terms of the development of this police state, which Barack Obama was a full participant in and a beneficiary of in regard to Patriot Acts and the National Defense Authorization Act, misuse of FISA courts, and all of these other things, warrantless NSA surveillance and all of this other stuff we've been talking about on the real right for these last 18 years. But nonetheless, it is interesting to see that at least a few honest people that tend to be left of center politically, like Mother Jones with Biden in the banks, looking at that magazine article last night, or this guy Jake Johnson in Common Dreams, noting that the Democratic control of the House of Representatives has just resulted in a routine reauthorization of the USA Patriot Act, at the same time that the Democratic Party's House of Representatives has been a full participant in signing off on what is the largest defense and national security budget in American history. There aren't too many Democrats that seem to be disagreeing with these outlandish policies that Trump and Pompeo are pursuing toward the Iranians. And, of course, the Democratic Party is trying to have its cake and to eat it, too, trying to portray themselves fraudulently as the peace party at the same time that the Zionist skirts of Biden and Warren and Bernie are beginning to show.
Yeah, and at the same time, they try to smear Tulsi Gabbard because she actually does talk about peace. Now, at the debate, she was asked a question, a point blank question about the question was something like, the FBI Director Wray has revealed that the majority of the domestic terror cases that the FBI is looking into were motivated by white nationalist violence, or no, white supremacist violence. And then the question was, as president, would you do anything that hasn't been done before? Would you do anything new regarding this problem? And she said, yes. And then she pivoted to, what did she pivot to? I think to the war on drugs. I wasn't that alarmed by it. I mean, what's she going to say? No, it's okay with me or whatever. I mean, the question was a loaded question. And so but the reason that she's asked this at that debate is in no small part due to the fact that I had rebranded Stormfront Radio as the Morning Aloha Report.
I love it. Having lived in Hawaii, 3 years in grade school, 1 year in high school, boy, that cracks me up every time I hear it. Go ahead.
Yeah, a lot of people in Hawaii were shooting back at me. I don't think any of them had any Hawaiian ancestry. And by the way, Tulsi Gabbard has no Hawaiian ancestry. And by the way, you and I were in Hawaii before she ever was.
Because she's not that old. We go back a ways, don't we?
We go back a ways.
You know how to hurt a guy.
But and then, of course, you know, David Duke has I think he still has her picture on his masthead and whatnot. So she was asked about that. And I don't think it was like I don't expect her to stand up for us. And it was she kind of said gave them a throwaway answer and then pivoted. But one other interesting she had another exchange with Kamala Harris, which wound up with her saying Kamala Harris would just continue the Bush-Clinton disastrous war policy. And then she had an exchange with Buttigieg, and because apparently Buttigieg has said he would use American troops to fight cartels in Mexico. And, on the surface of it, none of us have any use for cartels in Mexico. But you saw the movie, The Lion That Roared. It was about 60 years ago, maybe. And maybe it was Sellers. And a country that was about on the verge of bankruptcy started a war against the United States so that it would receive aid after it lost. But it wound up winning. And the thing is, the way it is now is a country that wants to invade the United States can the best way they can invade the United States and colonize it with their own people is to have the United States, launch a war or support an uprising or something in that country. And then you have half the people in the United States say, well, we messed with their country, so we have to let them all in.
Yeah, exactly. And this is a never ending cycle. And it's quite fascinating that we're combining external aggression for Zionist purposes with the domestic mess that they have been more than happy to create within our borders.
Well, Mark, thank you for saving the show. And look at nationalbugle.com. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.